Nice. Well done.
Damn, I forget Ice T was good.
Power. He was good back in the day.
I like forget that.
Somebody light up the suckers and we don't get one stop.
This was one of the rare rap albums that infiltrated Hick, Kennesaw, Georgia, where I lived growing up. And I was obsessed with Ice-T's Power album. Obsessed. And then eventually, like, De La Soul infiltrated, and I was a big De La Soul fan, and it just, you know, that was, it was this weird cocoon I was in this really redneck town that I grew up in, and every once in a while, we got something like that, and it just blew my mind. It was like that right next to, like, my, you know, rat cassette or whatever it was that I was listening to.
Oh,
at the
rat.
Time.
So
the
Ted's the only one who hasn't rapped on the air yet. Well, Ted and Jackson, I guess. Because we know Stiz is an accomplished rapper, and both of you guys I now have learned are both ill MCs, too.
That
right here,
might be the only song I know every lyric to. That's
really?
Song. That's it. As I said, I was just obsessed with Ice-T, that, actually the Power album. And it was funny, you know, how a lot of people say that, you know, the Chronic was one of the first albums to use, like, skits. Like, they had, like, the skits in it and everything like that. Ice-T's Power album starts with one of the worst skits ever because he does both voices of the people. It's like, hey, man, I got the new Ice-T album. No, you don't, man. Yeah, I do. Give me that. No, you take it. I want it. And it's like literally one take, him just doing both voices and both sounds just exactly like Ice-T. And then he shoots him and he goes, oh, man, I shot him. Well, let's listen to it. And then this, it starts. And then it ends with the guy, I think, you know, dying in pain as he's saying, that was a great album. So there you go.
It's kind of a good
Arkan, I let my bass do my talking. And, you know, I played bass for a heavy metal band for a while, Brad.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Doesn't mean you can't rap.
Oh, yes, it does.
Were you into, like, the big rap rock thing that was in the early 2000s?
Oh, no.
There is one rap rock band that's actually very good that you would like, and that's Stuck Mojo. Matter of fact, there would be no Seven Dust if it wasn't for Stuck Mojo. Seven Dust used to open for Stuck Mojo and pretty much, like, stole their sound. But they got a singer instead of a rapper. If you take a listen, that is, like, early Stuck Mojo is what Seven Dust, that's where they came from.
I saw Seven Dust open for Creed at UMass when I was in high school.
Oh, yes, you did.
Wow. Yeah.
What a duo.
I saw Seven Dust at every concert between 2000 and 2008.
Did Scott Stapp levitate over the crowd?
Definitely.
I do want to play this clip. We had mentioned a second ago. This is a Rich Certainly pivot. And this is Theo Epstein. Theo Epstein was on a podcast, and he said exactly what's wrong with your Boston Red Sox right now. Now, he mentioned something, what, was like a month ago? He had, like, thrown something out there, like, that was a little bit of a shot at Craig Breslow and the way Breslow ran things.
This was the same podcast. So,
okay, but yeah. this is just later
it's
on.
It's just now people went back in mind. In fact, Tim Healy mentioned this yesterday when he was on with us.
That's right.
And people went and grabbed the clip.
And good on him, because it is weird, because I remember when we first started talking about him being on this podcast, we were like, I totally forgot that he was even involved in the Boston Red Sox. Remember when they announced it a couple years ago?
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, this could be good. And then he just, nothing ever happened.
No.
You never heard his name. I still don't know exactly what he does, but I guess that he's just an ear, or he's a voice that they listen to. I don't know if it's like he's just a guy who has a direct phone line to, you know, John Henry himself as he's eating his ice cream with his lovely wife. Or it's more than that. But I do know that it sounds like when he says something like this, this was meant to be heard by someone in the Red Sox. It almost seems like a direct message to Craig Breslow, does it not? Let's take a listen. This is Theo Epstein on a podcast talking about what he believes the Red Sox have been doing wrong.
I think it's probably an important time in the game to touch on that, because we're right now we're a little bit out of balance. You know, there's an equilibrium in the game where data is important, analytics are important, technology is important, and you can use those tools to help you make good predictions about how players are going to perform in the future. But if it's done at the exclusion of the human element and, you know, the humanism, essentially human beings getting to know other people, understanding what makes them tick, developing a connection with them, understanding them better that way and putting them in a position to succeed, then it's not worth it. And you can fall out of balance. And so, you know, in some circles, scouting and invest and seeing beyond the stat sheet, seeing beyond the predictive model and understanding, you know, what really makes a person tick as a human, as a teammate, and as a player, is becoming a bit of a lost art.
It is. And I heard somebody refer to it yesterday as putting in the work. Is that teams are not putting in the work anymore. They're relying on analytics. There's probably a whole lot of AI that they've got that can shoot out numbers, and they can, you know, put in something in their algorithm, a certain set, and say, who are the people who fit this set? But that's the problem. And we read then that Breslow article that was really good in the Boston Globe, where they were talking about how Craig Breslow and the type of algorithm that they're running right now does not want a player that's over the age of 30 that can't play more than one position. And who, and what was the big swing and miss that they did on that?
Well, there's a million of them, but Schwarber seems like first and foremost.
Schwarber's the big one. Schwarber's somebody that if you just used your brain and you talked to the guy and you actually used your, I guess, your head instead of the computer, you would have realized that this is someone who could have been very valuable on a team that absolutely needed offense. And what did he do? He came back and embarrassed you. He came back here and absolutely embarrassed you. And you know what? He's been embarrassing you all season long. And that's because part of their algorithm, they plug in a certain set that they need to meet. And that one was, it was like, if X is over 30, then equals no. And then, you know, if X plays only one position, not two, and you lose out on good players like that because you leave it in the hands of some microchip.
But the problem, the weird thing is, Theo is the reason Breslow's here. He hired him in Chicago. He got him this job. Granted, he wasn't the first choice, but he
groomed
suggested
him, basically,
him.
Yeah.
Right, so now he's turning on him, and he's saying, at least through the story, through other sources, I don't directly, I'm disappointed in Craig. But, you know, that's a little speaking out of both sides of your mouth, or unless Breslow's just changed and gone reckless robot. I mean, I don't know why, you know, what is happening?
So he probably thought, I'm just going to try to jump into Theo Epstein's head. First thing I got is Jam on the Mind, Pearl Jam.
Yeah, exactly.
Just play it to your fingers.
10, yeah.
But over the soundtrack of the Versus album, if I was in his head, the first thing I would think is Craig Breslow is a player. He's somebody who played the game. He played the game for a long time. He was well-liked. So he's somebody who, despite relying on the tools that he will have at his disposal to be able to break down analytics, he'll always remember that he was a player first, and that he will have that in mind when making these deals and remember the human element. Yeah. The thing that he's talking about is missing, but something happened. Just Breslow just said, you know what?
Doesn't leave the office.
And
now he needs a human interpreter.
Exactly. And it does sound to me it's as simple as doing the work.
Do you think he's getting fired? If you had to predict, do you think they're going to pull the plug mid-season on Breslow?
Mid-season is, I don't know, but he's definitely getting fired. Like, if they continue on this road, if they are either last or second to last in their division, you bet your ass he's getting fired. And you know what? Good for them. They should. I don't root for anybody to get fired, but you can't accept what you've been getting out of this team lately. And you can blame it almost completely on just a complete lack of planning, not knowing. How did you not know that you would need offense? Why did you set this team up to rely on a kid who ends up getting injured? I mean, that's obviously not under control, but why would you like put the pressure on a kid to essentially have to carry your offense?
But if that's the case and you're out of it at the deadline, then you don't want this guy making your trades for you, right?
Right.
You definitely don't. You don't wait till the end of the year. So then you have Theo just assume GM roles.
That would be awesome. Hell yeah, bring Theo back.
Honestly.
That'd be fine. But even Theo, I don't know if he could have had a better offseason last year, the Chapman, Crochet, Bregman offseason. Like, that was a great offseason. That's why I hesitate to say fire Breslow, because he did when given the, you know, druthers, was able to put a really good offseason together, and that team went to the playoffs. Now, this one obviously wasn't as good, but he's shown that he can do it. You know what I mean? Like, he's actually shown you that he can make decent moves here and there.
But not
in last
season.
Year, there were some good ones. In season, definitely not.
No, absolutely. And I have no faith that he's going to be able to do anything at this trade deadline, even if it's even worth doing anything at the trade deadline other than unloading and getting some sort of value.
Boy, how you've changed from last Wednesday. One win over your hometown Braves. You were like, this team's back. We're ready to roll.
They were winning the World Series.
It was unbelievable. If they had won that series 2-1.
Oh, they were on fire. By the way, we are broadcasting from the Ketchuslaw Injury Attorney Studio. No fee unless you win. We are not going anywhere. In 2 minutes, we'll be back with some more A.J. Brown news. Not going anywhere. I'm going to be staring at this microphone for 2 minutes, and we'll be right back.